through 34. Oh, we didn't do that yet? Did you pray for them? Okay, let's pray, Lord. Pray for the tithes. We pray you bless it. Use it for your kingdom, Lord, to further your work. Give wisdom, Lord, and confidence and trust in you, Lord, that you will certainly take care of all these things we need, Lord, as we set our hearts and minds to seek you first in your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And Lord, we just pray for your anointing on the message as well today. Let it stir us and challenge us in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and bring those up. Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 34. Thanks, brother. I'm gonna do this prayer real quick here. These are people in the church in First New Testament Church down in Baton Rouge. They have several people in their church that have cancer and are all going to die from it unless the Lord intervenes. That's how far along it is. There's like five people here. So just agree with me, Lord. We pray for Jeff Morris, Nancy Pyle, Clay Furlow, Gene Moeller, and Chris Wilcox. Lord, we just pray right now you touch them and you heal them, Lord, as we join our prayers with those believers from the First New Testament Church in Baton Rouge. Lord, we agree together, Lord, to see healing brought to these individuals, Lord, and that through it, Lord, you would receive the utmost glory, Lord. You would receive the highest praise, Lord, that people would turn to you, Lord, because of your miraculous power, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 34. And when Jesus was passed over again by the ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus, by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she may live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you are set free to go whole without your plague anymore? Praise God. Hallelujah. But anyway, wherever Jesus went during his years of ministry, like if you read Mark, the very first chapter, it talks 8 verses about John the Baptist, doesn't talk of his birth. But by the 8th verse, Jesus comes on the scene. Before that chapter's over, he's in hiding because the people quickly took to him and they followed him from all around. And usually wherever he went was marked with crowds. He had to make it a point to slip away, get into the mountains, get away. Even sometimes his disciples didn't know where he was. They were around looking for him. Many came to him because of the miracles, and they came because of the feeding. There would be a lot of people talking about his doctrine, and they say, Boy, I've never heard anyone speak like this. When have you ever heard the Pharisees and the Sadducees teach with such authority like this Jesus did? And then he would the crowds would be around, and he would silence the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They're always testing him and drilling him with things, and he'd always give these one-line answers often that would shut him up. It was great. Today, we just like go ahead and like to argue. I'd like to be able to say something to settle an issue, wouldn't you? But the rulers were planning how they could kill Jesus because of these crowds, because wherever Jesus went, he stirred up all kinds of reaction. But today, the crowds are thinning. There isn't so many wanting to follow the Lord anymore. Once, after preaching in a synagogue, they carried him out, they chased him out to the brow of a hill, and they wanted to throw him over. And of course, you know the story. He walked through the crowd and got away from them. But this is where America's at today. They're no more running to him, but they want to throw him off a cliff. They want to throw him out of our country. They kicked them out of the schools. They kicked them out of our courts. And they want to kick them out of this country. You know, Bill Casey, one time when he was here preaching many years ago, he said these words, that this world is getting ready to vomit Christ out of it. Christ is going to vomit the lukewarm out of his mouth. But this world wants to vomit Christ out of it. And we see things decelerating, declining very quickly. And again, this is where America is at. They just as soon throw Jesus out than go to him. But praise God for you faithful, you remnant, for you the real believers that are here till the Lord raptures us out. We are going to be a testimony. We are not going to back down. Amen. We're going to be the word of God to this nation. Throughout Jesus' days, there have always been those individuals who have gotten Jesus' attention. This woman with an issue of blood, she stood out in the crowd, and yet she wasn't noticed by the crowd. You know, there's some people, they get in a crowd, and they can gather attention. They can gather, you know, the focus. And sometimes they're not even intentionally doing it, but just by their demeanor and by their charismatic personality, it doesn't take long, and the crowd starts focusing and giving their attention. Well, she stood out in the crowd. However, nobody really noticed her, but Jesus did. Amen? And that's what we want to be noticed by. We don't need to be standing out in the crowd and everybody take notice. If the Lord wants everybody to take notice, like they did on the day of Pentecost, that Peter could preach, that's the Lord's business. But it's important that we take note that Jesus notices us, no matter where we are at. It says that the crowd was pressing in on him, but Jesus just kept on going uninterrupted. And I love that. Several times Jesus does that, like he doesn't hear, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowd's trying to shut the guy down. And Jesus keeps on going, and he yells all the louder. And he finally did get Jesus' attention. "What do you want me to do for you?" He says, "I want to see." So Jesus healed him and touched him. But he was always focused on something, the Lord was. And the crowds always followed him. But you can get his attention in the midst of all of that if your heart is for the Lord. The crowd today represents the majority of people. In that crowd, you have those that claim they know Jesus. And those are the biggest troublemakers on the face of the earth. The ones that claim they know Jesus, but they really don't. They claim to follow him, but after they're filled with the fish and the bread, they're gone. They're about business. After they've seen the miracle, then they're off busy doing something else. After they see persecution or trouble, heartache come, they're off doing something else. They claim that they claim to follow him, but when it comes down to it, they don't. Then you have some that follow from a distance, never really get on board with the Lord, never really fully yield themselves. And they're always like Peter, warming at a different fire. Instead of the fire of the Spirit, he's warming at another fire, looking on at Jesus and the distance. Certainly didn't want to get caught in that with that crowd there. Then you have those that will press right into him. And thousands upon thousands. I want you to try to grasp that in your mind. You need to go into these villages. I don't know how many people there were, but I'm sure thousands of people We know there was thousands because he fed 4,000 and he fed 5,000. Thousands and thousands of people pressing in, coming to hear, coming to see. And yet, when the day of Pentecost came, there was 120 gathered. That doesn't sound like too many really fully committed themselves to follow the Lord. There was even 500 that had seen him after he rose from the dead. Where were those 380 on the day of Pentecost? People always back down. Those who are brushing up against Jesus can be the most active in the church. You've known some people like that, very active in the church. I know one man years ago, a young man came into the church, and boy, he just really seemed to be a servant and really excited and started wondering if the guy was ever born again, and come to find out he's far from God. He doesn't care about God at all. But he was very busy, and we get confused by that sometimes. You become the most active in the church. Sometimes those that make the most commotion we think are so spiritual. But remember the prophets of Baal. They were cutting themselves and they were yelling and crying. You know, some people do that. I saw a young man invited me to come in here and preach 20 some years ago. And I went to that meeting. They were meeting down at the Eagles Club. And he got up and I always questioned where his commitment to the Lord to begin with. I wasn't judging that he wasn't saved, but it's like he doesn't give an example of a godly man. But he's like shouting the devil down, and he's yelling and making all of this commotion. Everybody's calling everybody a man of God. It wasn't long after that he was in prison. And then he got out, and he's all shouting in hallelujah, and then he's in prison again. Then he got out. I think he probably went 3 or 4 times. And today he's still, and I give him the benefit of the doubt. Today he's still trying to serve the Lord, and I think maybe he's really coming into the victory finally. But a lot of people make a lot of big commotion, a lot of tension, but it's if they get the Lord's attention or not, not people's attention. The crowd it really represents the world. It represents the worldly church. And there are those that want the fish and the bread, then they leave. There are those that are hoping to see a miracle, but then when they do, they say the devil did it. Huh? Then there are those that come for healing, but then they never even turn to thank God. 10 lepers, they all get healed. Only one comes back and thanks the Lord. Thanks the Lord. We have an example in our own assembly here. My sister Sandy prays for a lady at Home Depot she's working for. The lady actually gets healed of her cancer, comes and joins the church for a little bit, and now is back in the world. People come to God, they want things from God, but they don't want to give themselves to God. It's kind of a one-sided thing. Some guys marry like that. They think they're marrying a servant or a slave. They want to get married and just expect that lady to serve them for the rest of their life, and they don't have any intention in loving back. Or some ladies, they can marry the wrong man, or a man can marry the wrong woman as well. But anyways, we can see that the problem in the church can be packed out. And in the midst of a packed church, sometimes I wonder how many people in here, when they're praising the Lord and they're shouting hallelujah and all of that, especially in some of these big mega churches that look kind of worldly, I wonder how many people in there on a Sunday morning are really getting the attention of Jesus. Do you wonder, am I really getting the attention of Jesus when I, praise and I lift my hands and I sing? Is he really hearing me? It's a question only you can ask the Lord to reveal to you. Some come to church for friendship. Some come to church for the programs. Some are here, go to church for music. Some are there to have their needs met. Some go out of obligation. Some go there to impress others. Some go to gain status. Some go to church to try to run it. Some are looking for a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Some are looking for a husband or a wife. Some are looking for a religion to belong to or a social club to be a part of. And then you have some that are really going to church looking for Jesus and looking for the saints. Amen. They're going because they want to be with Jesus and they want to be with the saints. If you come to church like that, you will get his attention. Praise God. It is possible, and I hope it's reality, that all of us here, when we worship the Lord, really do get the Lord's attention. It's amazing that all over the world, people are looking to get his attention, and he gives it to those that want it. To millions of people, he can do it all at the same time. I have two people talking to me, and sometimes I say, can't you see I'm talking to somebody, you know? But there are two people talking to me, and I'm like going back and forth trying to understand. Well, you can do that to God. and he can hear everything you say. He can know your heart, and he can talk back to you in the same way to everybody else. But you know, to be a part of the crowd, if you don't stand out in the crowd to be able to get the Lord's attention, then you are part of the crowd. And the destination of that crowd is a fiery hell. It says it as simple as can be, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. I mean, it's very easy to go that way. You can stumble into that path. You can close your eyes for a moment and be on that path. You know, do that once. Come up here and close your eyes and just start walking. See how far you go without before you're running into something. You don't need to close your eyes very long. You don't need to get a little bit spiritually sleepy very long to get on that broad path. It's there. It's to the left. It's to the right. We just have to go straight. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. So that crowd is big, and it's all headed for the same place. You and I want to separate ourselves. We'll be in it, but not of it. Will be in the world, but not of the world. You can be in that crowd, but you don't have to be part of it. And the best thing of it all is you can be in that crowd, and there can be so much distraction. There can be so many other motives, so many objects, so many other reasons for people to be there. And you can be in the midst of all of that commotion, all of that noise, and all of those wrong motives, and still get the attention of the Lord. Amen? Praise God. It's great when you can get away, and you need to get away. You need to find that prayer closet. You need to find that place of safety and to get alone with the Lord. But don't think that you can't find him in the midst of the crowd. Don't think that in the midst of your busy circumstances and people all around you that you can't get the attention of the Lord. This lady wanted it. This is a lady with the issue of blood, and she got it very quickly. She burst through the crowd. She probably, you know, weaseled her way through there, ducked down low and climbing through the people. And just, man, if I could just get a hold of that hem of his garment and bust through and touch it, whatever she had to do. But she caught his attention, praise God, and he never saw her. Isn't that awesome? Never saw her. We are programmed by our democratic government that the majority gets their way. Democracy, you know, isn't the perfect government, but it's pretty suitable. It worked pretty good, but it doesn't work in heaven. It's a theocracy. He's the boss, period. He'll always be the boss. He's been the boss from eternity past. He'll be the boss for eternity in the future. But this democratic society gives us a democratic kind of idea when we come into church. You know, when I first got saved, nobody ever told me this. I just observed it and then take my democratic mindset and say, oh, these deacons that the church has, these are the sounding board. These are the go-between, the laity and the clergy. And these deacons, they're the moderators and the mediators and all that. Well, that isn't even biblical. Because I went to a seminar and learned that that's not what it's about at all. These men are given to help the ministry. The apostle said, put these men in charge, you know, to help us, so we can be committed to the word and to the prayer. But our democratic mind thinks, hey, I get to say something about this. We all think that we have something to say, and if the Lord puts something on our heart, we have something to say. But he is the head, and that goes down through his body, and he has leadership in place. But this democratic mindset we have makes us think wherever the crowd is, that's what's right. The crowd gets to pick what's right. They get to vote. They get to say what's right. And certainly the crowd can't be wrong. It's crystal clear in the Bible, the crowd is always wrong. It is always wrong. Everywhere you go, there is always the few that were faithful to the Lord. Everybody else is of the world. The crowd is wrong. We, saints of God, and there's so much, I think people today and our media today and our government today, they teach people that you need to be offended. If somebody considers you like a minority and you get special rights, well, you and I are minorities. We are the greatest minority on the face of the earth, and I'm proud of it. I don't care how many people put me down. I'm proud in a good way. Put me down all you want. Pick on me all you want. The more you do that, the more blessed I am. Go for it. Knock yourselves out and bless me over and over and over and over again. We are in the minority, and settle that in your heart. The crowd is wrong. Don't go that way. Amen? Hallelujah. Many people in these mega churches where the cross is not preached, they feel secure. They say in their heart, how can this be wrong? Look at this, how wonderful. Look at how glamorous and glitzy it is. Look at how polished and perfect everything. Everything shined. Look at the beautiful carpet, everything. Oh, look at the people are giving all of their money for this. This has got to be right. This has got to be good. I feel safe and secure because look at all of the people that are here. I wonder if Jesus would show up. I wonder how many people would be left. Might be a pretty small crowd. I wonder if some of these churches brought like a real evangelist in, a real prophet in, started speaking to people, how long the people would stick around. The true Christian walks the narrow way, then the crowd takes the broad path. It's a principle that has never ceased since the beginning of time. The farther you get from God, the greater support and respect you'll get from the crowd. So if you want to be accepted by the crowd, then just drop your standards a little bit. Just stay quiet about God a little bit. Kind of laugh with the jokes. Maybe drink a little bit here with them. Smoke some reefer with them. I don't know, do they still call it that today? You know, run with them, you know, and they won't pick on you so much. But if you want the acceptance from the crowd, you're going to start losing your attention from Jesus. The Pharisees, they had a lot of respect from the crowd, and they did not want to lose it, so they never really got around to touching Jesus. They would just stay away from him. They followed him around. They sent spies. They looked for ways to trip him up. They looked for ways to accuse him. They never could find any. They made some up. And even when they put him before Pilate, they still couldn't come up with anything tangible. They were terrible witnesses. They just couldn't really give any definite reason why they should crucify him, but Pilate gave over to the pressure of the crowd. Jesus almost had to insult Pilate to get crucified. You think about it. He says, well, you wouldn't even have this authority. He didn't say it like that, but let me be a little smart alecky about it. Pilate, you wouldn't even have this authority if it wasn't for my Father in heaven. You know, so he almost had to insult Pilate to crucify him. Pilate knew Jesus was innocent, but he gave in to the crowd. Don't give in to the crowd, church. Jesus never responded when the soldiers mocked him. He was quiet when they beat on him. They're quiet when they slapped him in the face and they put the crown of thorns on his head and they hit him with reeds, plucked out his beard, and he never responded to them. I just don't think they really got his attention. But the thief on the cross did. One thief's railing him. Jesus paid no attention to him. But the other thief starts rebuking the other thief. And then with a tender, repentive, humble voice, he asked the Lord to remember him. You know, and the Lord did. That thief, praise God, the last moments of his life got the attention of the Lord. It's never too late, ever, to get the attention of the Lord. Hallelujah. Got to touch him in such a way. That thief, he admitted and he knew he deserved the punishment he was getting. I don't know if you heard about it. You might have saw it on the news. Shocking, my sister-in-law just got arrested for embezzling $95,000 from a church, a Lutheran church she worked at in Oak Creek. I called my brother a few days later. He was real weepy, still on the phone. And I just saying, and out of all my brothers and sisters that are left that aren't saved, at least, I don't know, maybe Sandy, you have a different experience, but for me, Larry and Kelly seem to be the most open to the Lord. So I just says, well, you know, Larry, you guys just got to trust in the Lord. And he goes, he said some things, but I says, you know what, just cooperate with the authorities. You know, I'm thinking, just admit, come out in the open, don't fight it, and just then trust the Lord with it. But if she doesn't have a repentant heart and she starts fighting this, then she is going to face, you know, the consequences of God not on her side. The humble, I don't know what she's going to do, but to go before the Lord with a humble heart, and this is what this thief did, and the Lord just like that forgave him. And if they call on the Lord, my sister-in-law calls on the Lord, like Steve and I were talking about it, she might have to pay certainly some consequences in this world, but she can be forgiven of that $95,000 debt from the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Her name's Kelly. Remember her in prayer. So many people crowd Jesus, yet few are ever noticed by him. If you want to get his attention, as the woman with the issue of blood did, you must come to him in the same manner as he did, as she did, I mean. First, you got to come to him in faith. I mean, this is where we all got born again, right? Isn't it where we started? Just going to the Lord, putting your faith in God. All faith means is to trust. Put your trust, your confidence in something or someone. At one time, you trusted yourself, maybe not very good, but you had confidence and trust in something, no matter if it was strong or weak. You did have your faith in something. Well, when you got born again, you decided to put your faith and confidence in the Lord, your trust in the Lord. And by his grace, he saved you. But she had enough faith to say, I'm going to get to touch the hem of his garment. She said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. So she busted through the crowd, touched his garment, and she was made well because of faith she had in God. One of my all-time favorite verses, we quote it a lot around here, Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. So I'm thinking it's by faith you do please him. Amen? For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So evidently, he does get pleased by faith, because he says, if you have it in me, if you diligently seek, you don't diligently seek the Lord if you don't have faith in him. You're not going to go sitting in a chair if you don't believe it holds you up. But you'll gladly go sit in a chair if you know it's going to hold you up. So if you don't have your faith and trust in the Lord, you're not going to diligently seek him. When you diligently seek him, he rewards you. In this case, this lady's reward was to get the attention of Jesus and receive the very healing she was looking for. It's as Christians, as believers, and we serve the Lord and we keep on going on, and for many, many years, we can sometimes forget that we never can come to the Lord in our own merit. Still today, none of us, no matter how long we've been saved, can stand before the Lord in our own goodness, our own good works, our own merit. Like, well, I've arrived to a pretty holy place in my life, so I can do it now. It's like, it's always in faith. And that's why Paul prayed that your faith, that when he prayed it for the Ephesians, he prayed that that Christ would dwell in their hearts by faith. He's reminding them, let your faith be real. Let your faith, you know, be activated. Serve the Lord. Love the Lord every day. But we have, there is no other way to stand before the Lord. You couldn't stand before him until you put your faith in him, and you still cannot stand before him without faith in him today. But many have complicated faith, but I want to bring it back to simplicity. And I know that's what you like. But if you need to be whole, then you go to God. How do you do that? How do you go to God? How do you go to God to believe that you be made whole? It's as simple as this: believe in who He is. That's what it says. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is." To have your faith activated, all you have to do is go before Him as He is. Believe He's God. Believe everything that He is, and your faith is being activated. You are living in simple faith. We have so many that complicate it today, and they, you know, you got to like psych yourself out to believe and all of these different things, and just know that He's God and just go before Him simply as your God, as your Father every day, and you're going before the Lord in faith. It doesn't need to be any more complicated than that. Go before Him knowing that He's God. Go before Him knowing that He can heal you, that He can touch you, that He can make you whole, that He can touch you physically, mentally, spiritually. He's the God that can do that. You just have to believe that. Well, I believe that since I got saved, and I'm still believing that since I got saved. I started out in faith, and I'm going to finish this walk in faith. I fought the good fight of faith. I am fighting the good fight of faith, and I believe I'll finish the fight of faith in you too. Amen? So just simply believe in Him for who He is. Don't let anybody put all of this other stuff in your mind and in your heart. Just believe God for who He is. She realized that the world could not help her anymore. Don't depend on man. Don't depend on this world to fix things for you. I mean, you can hire somebody to fix your house, but we're talking about fixing people. She tried many doctors in town. Who knows, she might have tried every doctor in town. But she went, and nobody could heal her. Nobody could touch her. Nobody had the solution. We have people, we just prayed for a list of people that are all going to die unless the Lord touches them. Nothing that all of the great medical knowledge we have today, there's nothing that can do for people. And this lady was in this situation. Nobody could help her out. The sooner we come to that, the better off we are. Amen? The sooner we say, God is my help. And you know what? I'm not against going to doctors. I'm not against taking medicine. But I say, I do want to say this. Did you go to God first? Isn't He our first source? Did you go to God first and ask Him to heal you? Did you go to God and ask Him to touch you? And if things aren't happening and you're not getting touched and you feel you want to go to the doctor and take medicine, I would never put you down for that. I've done that myself and do that myself. But we got to learn to go to God first. Amen? He's the God. You know, He's control. Maybe we would have saved ourselves some money. Maybe we would have saved ourselves some time if we would have done that at different times. So we realize that we got to quit depending on man and quit depending on our resources. This lady kept on going to the doctor and this doctor and that doctor, and she ran out of money. So she went to all the doctors that had no solution. She has no money left. She is totally bankrupt. And she's odder still. I still have one more opportunity. I just heard His name shouted, and there He is. I'm going to get there. I'm going to get in. If I can just touch Him, I know I'll be made well. Praise God. What faith she had. And she didn't need money, and she didn't need... I just recently prayed for some... I got myself in trouble. I can't believe it. But I prayed for this couple that had been trying to have a baby. And when I got done praying, the closing mark... Because I know they're... You pay big money to try to get, you know, what do they call that? In vitro. You pay a lot of money. People do that to go have a baby, and I commend them for wanting to have a baby. But the Lord put it in my heart to pray for them. I pulled them off to the side, and I just prayed, Lord, bless them with a baby. And the last thing I said, and that's for free. You know, and my point was that the Lord does all of that for free. You don't have to go to a doctor visit. You don't have to look for the right timing. You don't have to buy the medication and all the things you need done and all of these procedures done. The Lord will just do it for free. And anyways, it all blew up and kind of parted the family. And people are mad, but I says, well, let's see what happens in 2 months. And when they find out she's pregnant, and then we'll see if they're still mad. Amen? But she spent all her money. There was nothing left. It was Jesus. Praise God. The Lord blesses them with a baby. The Lord has glorified himself. The Lord has showed them. Now it would be up to them to put their faith and trust in him. It's a hard lesson to learn that this world does not have the answer. Have you ever, as a Christian, gone back to the world a little bit? Have you ever said, oh, I got to try this, I got to try that, I got to do this, I got to hang with that person, I got to pursue this. Maybe there's a little something there. I've done it a few times as a believer, and I can stand here telling you that it's always a dead end. It never does satisfy. Somewhere along the road, no matter how exciting it is, it's a dead end. Any of you ever play video games? Probably most of you. Have you ever beat a board? Those first games that you ever learned, like when we were young, when they first came out, it was Pong. You remember Pong? It was a ball like ping pong, went back and forth. And boy, you thought that was the coolest thing. And after about an hour you played it, it was boring. Okay, well, that's the world. I just tell you right now, it's like the video game that you've conquered. And next Christmas, you're all excited for the new game. The other game, the minor 49er that I played 30-some years ago, I don't even know if most of you have even seen that game anymore. I beat all 10 boards, and then I lost my interest in it, never played it again, and never played really video games for the rest of my life. You know why? Because it doesn't satisfy. It's just a dead end. You get somewhere, and you're like, ugh. How many times have you done something? Oh, this is the most fun thing I ever did. And then after a while, it's like you don't even do it anymore. It loses its interest again. That's the world. You will lose your interest in it because it'll never satisfy you and it'll never keep you. That does not have the answer to eternal life. It doesn't bring a lasting peace and comfort. It's limited in its ability to provide. This world can provide for you. The devil will take care of you to some degree, and as soon as he gets a chance to, he will pull the rug out from under you unless the Lord intervenes. But this world is limited in its ability to help. But it is limitless, his help. Amen. Put our faith in him. Don't depend on this world. Just be smart and be wisdom right now and just say, I remember Pastor Terry says, if I chase after these things, the world is going to be a dead end. I want to do this, but I'm going to take his advice. I believe him. Because I know he's done it. I've seen him do it. Don't be a dummy and have to find out for yourself. Brother Clendenin, he used to tell stories. He says, I did these things, and I'll tell you, I'm telling you now so you don't. I was going to be wise, and I took his advice, and I says, I'm just not going that way. He already experienced it. He says it the end of it is vanity, so I'm going to learn from his mistakes. So learn from mine too, church. This woman, after 12 years of her own effort, after trusting in the world, after 12 years, she was only sicker and she was broke. That's what the world gave her. That's what the devil will give you if you turn your life over to him. If you live for the devil, you will end up sicker and broker as the years go by. Sin is fun for a season, but it is only for a season. The reality that the world offered her no help or hope became evident to her. When she heard of Jesus, she gave up on this world and said, that's my hope, Jesus Christ. So I ask you, how about you? Are you dependent on this world? Are you still trusting that this world will come through for you? Do you still have a glimmer of hope that the world will satisfy you? Are you still putting your treasures in this world and in its system? Learn from the widow who exhausted all her worldly devices and finally say, I have to go to Jesus. Amen. And then one more thing she did, she went with humility to the Lord. Just like the thief on the cross, she pushed through the crowd, not to be noticed, but she went, pushed through the crowd because she wanted to get to Jesus. She did not stand in the way and make a big commotion about herself. She didn't make all kinds of noise. She didn't demand her rights. She didn't cry or pout. She didn't come from the beauty shop, but she came in behind him, just hoping she could touch him, just touch the hem of his garment. I'm sure she came to the Lord feeling very unworthy of the healing, but trusted him enough and believed him enough for a healing. She came humbly, not caring what others thought of her. You know, people that are shy, are any of you in here shy? I'm a shy person for the most part. But even if you're shy, you still need to touch the Lord. So if you're shy, don't come in through the front door. Come in through the back door. If you're shy, don't get in front of Jesus. Come in behind him. If you're shy, don't make a lot of noise about it. Just come humbly to the Lord. Shyness is no excuse. Shyness doesn't keep anybody, won't keep you away from the Lord. If you humble yourself, a lot of times shyness is just pride. We don't want to expose ourselves in front of people, and we think it's shyness when it's just really pride. So go to the Lord, and he will touch you. She touched Jesus in such a way that his eyes did not take notice, but he felt the virtue and he felt the power come from her, and she got the attention of Jesus. She pressed in from behind. Jesus responded to the woman who touched his clothes, and he said, "Who touched me?" I wonder if he really knew or not. He doesn't know anything unless the Father reveals it to him. And she she again feeling unworthy, maybe even a little bit of shame. She humbled herself before him and says, "I did." But the point is, in all that humility, she touched the Lord to such a point. Grasp that. People all around him, they're pressing in. It doesn't mean that they're giving him his distance. They're trying to get up and they're touching him. Even the disciples said, "Lord, what's wrong with you? Everybody, look. I mean, how do we know who's touching you? It's like everybody's touching you, Lord." But none of them got the attention of the Lord. It's just the lady that went to him in faith. Praise God. I don't know about you, that just so encourages me that no matter where I am, no matter where I am in life, what's going on around me, I can get the attention of the Lord. And that is my prayer that every one of us in here this morning is to be able to say, "I touched Jesus today." Amen? Hallelujah. And even to say that he took notice of me. Praise God. For the Lord to take notice of you. Of all of the things that go on in this big universe, you think there's a lot of strings that pull, a lot of switches to flip, and all kinds of maintenance that's going on for our great God to keep this universe all in one tact. Well, he can just do that without even thinking about it. But the one that can do all of that cares about you. And focus his attention on you. It isn't because you're righteous and you're so holy and you've aspired to this and all of that. It's because you've simply come to the Lord in faith, declared who he is. You believe him. He's my Father. I'm your child. Lord, I need you in everything in my life. I let go of this old world, Lord. I'm not dependent on it. I'm looking to you. I need your help. You are the God. You are the God that created everything there is. And I come to you humbly. Praise God. That's going to the Lord in faith right there. So I just close with asking this question. Has it been a while since you touched the Lord? Has it been a while since you think you've gotten the attention of Jesus? I just want to open the altars this morning. Just come and spend a few moments with the Lord. If you just want to renew that relationship with him, if your faith has dwindled, if you've taken other interests in this life, if you just know you're lacking a little bit and you just want a renewal, I'm going to open up the altars. Just come on up and just spend some time here with the Lord and the rest of the church. Just respect the people up here praying. If you need to go ahead and do that. Maybe you just feel moved of the Lord to come and pray with somebody. Make sure the Lord is moving you to do that, because you don't need to interrupt with their conversation with the Lord. You can do that right in your pew as well. Just go to the Lord.